What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
David W. Cobb, he joins now. David, what's happening, brother?
Not much, Gabe. I'm just looking forward to a good sports weekend for this time of year because we got the U.S. Open starting tomorrow.
Yes.
We got NBA Finals going on. And then we get the College World Series. We'll get cranked up. So, it's not some glorious sports weekend that's coming, but it's a pretty good one for this time of year.
You know what makes it a good sports week, though?
What's
you
that?
Got to get your hands on some preview magazines for college football, brother. You got the Athlon and the Lindy's. How about it? We're here.
I got them spread out in front of me right now. I actually opened them up to the AAC page because I'm like, all right, what are we going to talk about with Gabe today? And I'm like, you know what? We might get into some Memphis football. I don't know. But I got them spread out here. Athlon and Lindy's both have Memphis picked to win the AAC. How about that?
And I'm having Ryan Silverfield on at 6 o'clock. How about that?
Yeah, you got to have me. You got to stop having me open for these like big time college football.
You're a good lead in. You're a great lead in, David. Don't sell yourself short, brother. Come on now.
It's a lot of pressure, though. You know, what if I say something that Ryan Silverfield, you know, doesn't agree with, and then he gets mad at me for that?
Yeah, I got to say though, the reason I ended up bringing him on today as well is I've been sort of headlining him the past 2 days. This recruiting they're doing is nuts. This may be a year where they likely will have the top recruiting class in the group of five. They may break into the top 40 on most of these sites, 247, On3, Rivals, whatever it is.
Yeah, and how about this? I'll read it to you straight from the magazine. This is Athlon. You know, they do these blurbs where they have an opposing coach from within the conference give them a take on the team, and a lot of times it's inflammatory, and that gets some headlines this time of year. Here's what the anonymous coaches said about this team, right? Auburn randomly was in the headlines for this because some opposing SEC coach put Brian Harsin on blast this year for doing a bad job in recruiting and leaving the cupboard bare for Hugh Freeze. So, you never know what you're going to get with these anonymous quotes. So I was reading this Memphis one. And here's what it was from an opposing AAC assistant. Getting the NIL help from FedEx is a legit move up for them. They could be dominant at the G5 level. I don't know who said that, but that was an opposing assistant within the AAC. And it's hard to argue with that logic right now when you see what they're doing on the trail.
It's nuts. It's nuts. I can't get over it, David. I've never seen this level of recruit end up on campus and ultimately have the chance to commit. They just flipped a guy from SMU for their first commit of the 2025 class. But that's enough of that because you did write a very interesting article that I really want to highlight. It's about the continuity factor and the teams that fit in line this year with college football playoff national championships of the last 10 years. And there's four separate things that they need to have, and three of the four is what you need to be a college football national champion,
right?
Champion, if the last 10 years show us anything. Returning coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and a quarterback who started at least four games for the current school last season. And there's not that many teams that fit into this. Georgia, of course, is at the top because they're returning all four. But, Ohio State has to beat that trend. And that is a strange reality because I think most people are slotting in Georgia and Ohio State at the top of the sport, no doubt.
Yeah, that's right. And the other thing I'll add to it is – typically or historically over the last 10 years, these teams have also finished in the top 13 from the previous year. So that's why it's limited to just six teams that I've narrowed it down to that could win it all with this criteria, is because you had to be a top 13 team from the year before. Yeah, and then you bring back at least three of your head coach, OC, DC, QB. And actually, while we're talking about Memphis, Memphis returns three of the four,
yep.
Right? The head coach, offensive coordinator, and quarterback. New defensive coordinator, right?
So, yep.
So that's the one.
But he was on staff, so it's not that far of a reach.
That's right. That's right. So Memphis does have three of the four. The only thing they're missing is that they didn't finish in the top 13 last year. But, yeah, I think people would be surprised to know that. However, I'm interested to see how the playoff expansion changes this, or if it changes this, because these past 10 national champions that have all had this really good continuity, they've won the national title in the four-team format. Well, what the 12-team format might change is it might give you a little bit of grace early in the season, where if you've got a new quarterback and a new offensive coordinator, like Ohio State does, sometimes that could cause a loss early in the season. There could be some miscues with late game execution. If your new QB and your new OC are not on the same page, that could be problematic. Well, now that early season loss isn't going to cost you your playoff
right.
spot anymore. And so if you're Ohio State and you drop a couple of games, would have killed you before. You weren't making the playoff with two losses. Now you can make the playoff with two losses. Maybe by December you're a well-oiled machine with that new quarterback and new offensive coordinator. Maybe it doesn't hurt you as much. So I'm interested to see if Ohio State can overcome this with Chip Kelly in, with a new quarterback, Will Howard. Let's see how this thing goes. They might be able to break this trend.
God, I struggle with this so bad, David. Listen, I think Will Howard's a fine quarterback. I'm not hating on him. I think he's better than Kyle McCord. But that's not saying all that much, because Kyle McCord was not all that great last year. But I struggle with thinking that he's the type of quarterback that gets you over the top to win a national championship. He's coming from a Chris Kleiman system where you're handing the ball off a whole lot, getting into play action. We know Ryan Day doesn't always get into that, even though his defense has improved. But you're going to spread it out a little bit more. It's a completely different system than what Will Howard has ever seen at Kansas State. And I struggle with believing he's going to be the quarterback that can get them over top and win a national championship.
I'm with you there. In the last quarterback, or the last program to win the national title without the continuity that we've seen over the last decade from the title winners, it was Florida State, and they had a guy named Jameis Winston
yes.
at quarterback. Will Howard, Jameis Winston. I'm going to go Jameis there if I've got to pick one. So they're going to have to overcome average quarterback play. That's what you're going to get. You know what you're going to get from Will Howard. Maybe there's a chance that Chip Kelly unlocks the advanced version of him. You know, maybe he gets a little better down the field with some better receivers around him. I'm not dismissing the possibility of improvement with Will Howard, but I'd be real surprised if we see Will Howard in the top 10 of the Heisman Trophy voting. And that's the standard of quarterback play that Ohio State has been used to over the last decade. It's just been one good guy after another in there, with Kyle McCord sort of being the first one to really, you know, constitute any sort of a drop-off at that position. So to me, it signals more than anything, bringing in Will Howard, that Ryan Day and Ohio State are going more run heavy. I mean, look at, you know, you add in Quinshon Judkins and you bring back Travion Henderson. Boy, that is a convoy back there in the backfield. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see this Ohio State team run the football 60% of the time this year.
Is the SEC trickier than we're giving credit for right now? Because three teams of the six are from, well, four teams of the six are from the SEC, but three of those four teams have all four of those returning elements that you need: head coach, OC, DC, quarterback, Ole Miss, Texas, and of course Georgia. Is it trickier than we're giving credit for? And do you think they can get four? You think they're likely to get four in the new college football playoff format?
Yeah, pretty good chance that we could see four from the SEC. I think you could make the case we'll see four from the Big Ten as well, which leaves your group of five, and then it leaves three spots for the Big 12 and the ACC. And a lot of people in college sports are not going to like that if that's the way it breaks down, where the SEC and the Big 10 represent 66% of the playoff field. But that's within the realm of possibility. And I do think the SEC is pretty well positioned to have a strong debut in this 12-team format, because there's some really high-quality talent coming back in the league, and so some pretty good coaches too. I still see Georgia, though, as a rung ahead
yes.
of Texas. I see Georgia as a rung ahead of Ole Miss and a rung ahead of Missouri, who's also on my list in that article. So, yeah, I mean, the SEC is going to be going to be tough. No shocker. But I don't view those four as like part of an elite group in just among themselves. I see Georgia on a tier of its own, and then kind of everybody else behind them.
I think Missouri's at the very least an 8-win team. They have a relatively easy schedule. I want to see how the defense looks without Blake Baker, because that's really what they hung their hat on a lot last year, running the ball with Cody Schrader, who's not there anymore, and Blake Baker really leading that defense. And they lost two cornerbacks to the NFL, and they lost their D-end, Darius Robinson, to the NFL. So I wonder how Mizzou's going to look. If we're talking about a fourth team outside of Ole Miss, Texas, and Georgia, is it Alabama?
Is it Alabama or is it LSU?
Right.
I might lean more towards LSU. Well, they hired Blake Baker away from Missouri. Great defensive coordinator hire. Garrett Nussmeier is one of those sneaky potential breakout players on the national level at quarterback for LSU. This guy has stuck around. He's waited his turn, which don't see that a whole lot anymore. He would have started for 95% of teams around the country last season. It just so happened that he was behind the Heisman Trophy winner in Jaden Daniels. But we've seen what Garrett Nussmeier can do in spurts. So with all the uncertainty at Alabama, and if we're going off of this, playing off of this continuity factor here, I'm going to go with LSU over Alabama because Alabama's got just everything is new. I mean, Jalen Milroe is back as the starting quarterback, but you got a new defensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator. Kalen DeBoer is going to call the plays, it sounds like, to start out. But we've seen with Eli Drinkwitz how when you're stepping into the SEC as a head coach for the first time and you try to call the plays and be the CEO, that can be overwhelming. And eventually Eli Drinkwitz had to give that up. And it wasn't until he gave it up that Missouri finally had its breakthrough. So I don't know. I'm not sure that I totally trust Kalen DeBoer to manage all that in year one to the level that gets Alabama into the playoffs.
And, David, I fall for this trap every single year. And I wouldn't even call it a trap because sometimes they have their 10-win season. Mostly they have their 7-win season. But Kentucky, where do you think Kentucky fits in this year? I think their over-under win total is like 7.5. But I love the addition of Brock Vandegrift. I think that, even more so than a guy like Garrett Nussmeier, I think that's the guy I really think could surprise some folks in the SEC as a quarterback for Kentucky.
Yeah, Kentucky's kind of trying to go the Georgia junior varsity route a little bit, which, hey, it worked out all right for Ohio State with Justin Fields. I don't know that I see Kentucky as a playoff team.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying a surprise, one of their peak years under Mark Stoops.
Well, what are you going to get from Brock Vandegrift? I mean, that's a guy that we didn't see anything from at Georgia, and not because he was inept. It's because he didn't play. So you don't know what you're going to get from him. But he was super highly touted as a high school prospect, and now he's going to finally have a chance to spread his wings a little bit. But I don't know. I got a hard time seeing Kentucky breaking through the ceiling that's kind of been there for them. It seemed like Mark Stoops was maybe going to take the Texas A&M job, and that Kentucky fans were kind of going to be okay with it. they were kind of going to be like, all right, thanks, Mark. Thanks for all you did for us. Maybe we're ready to try something new. But no, I mean, he's got that sweet contract there where he gets a raise every time they make a bowl. They schedule so soft in the non-conference to where they're going to make a bowl pretty much every year, and they've done the same again this season. So I don't know. I see Kentucky kind of in that 8-4 range probably again.
Now, know what fired me up? This came out yesterday, and I think we knew about it for the most part, but the opening ABC slate for week one, oh my gosh, David. 12 o'clock Clemson versus Georgia, 3:30 Miami at Florida, 7:30 Notre Dame at Texas A&M, and then on Sunday USC and LSU. That'll be a hell of an opening act for the season.
I love the fact that in week one, college football is not upstaged by the NFL. And the regular season hadn't started yet in the NFL, and it is all about the college ball. And so we get to see it on Sunday. We get to see it on Monday. And, Saturday is not bad either. So it's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. And it's crazy kind of how the noon window has become like the preeminent window college sports. And so, from noon to midnight, man, we're going to have a full buffet. And then, that's really just the beginning because you got LSU and USC on Sunday, which, by the way, what in the world are USC and UCLA doing? They both play LSU in the non-conference this year while they're transitioning to the Big Ten. That's just That's just unnecessarily brutal.
Yep. Yep. No question. Now, ACC, I want to ask you about this. Clemson or Florida State at the top of that? At the top there? Who do you buy into more?
Yeah, I actually buy more into Florida State. Okay. And, I mean, look, it's DJU. You kind of know what you're going to get from him at quarterback. It's a high floor, but maybe not the highest type of ceiling. Honestly, though, I don't think that makes him all that different than Jordan Travis. I mean, Jordan Travis was a different player. He was a more mobile athlete, but DJU can run it a little bit too. I think DJU has a bigger arm. I'm not so sure that they have a Keon Coleman this year for him to throw it to, but I think there's enough continuity. There's enough there, even on that defensive front without Jared Verse, you know, for Florida State to be pretty nasty defensively again in the ACC. So, yeah, I mean, I would go Florida State over Clemson. I just have some questions about Clemson and their durability.
Yeah.
Because when you don't go to the portal, I think it hurts you as the season progresses and your depth gets tested.
Now,
and that's where I think they miss out when they don't go to the portal.
That's something I got posed the other night at the Memphis Touchdown Club by Harold Grader. He basically asked, with Clemson not going to the transfer portal at all, like, do you think teams in this day and age can be a college football playoff national champion without approaching the portal? Do you think it's possible?
I don't think you can ignore it entirely and win a national title. I think you can be selective. I think you can be you can take fewer than 10 transfers. You don't have to go out and take 20. You don't have to just completely ignore high school recruiting altogether in favor of the portal. You don't have to do that. You can develop internally, but you gotta plug the holes that you have through the portal. And that's what you see the title winning caliber teams doing. That's what you see Ohio State trying to do this offseason, going out and getting a Caleb Downs and a Quinshon Judkins. I mean, there's still plenty of talent, homegrown talent, on that Ohio State roster that's been a part of their last four recruiting classes, but that they've filled the holes with proven talent from elsewhere in college football. And that's something that Clemson just isn't doing. I think Clemson can still reach the college football playoff. They can compete for ACC titles. I don't know that you're going to see Clemson win a national title without getting a single transfer.
But if you're playing the other side of that, you look at the peak of the sport, and I'll look at Georgia in particular, they're still very heavy high school recruiters.
Absolutely.
Very heavy.
Absolutely.
And honestly, you know, if you talk to coaches around the country, you go to the portal for convenience, and I understand that. But how you build a program and build it sustainably is still through high school.
That's right. And Georgia does a really good job of retaining the players that they recruit. And
yeah, that's huge.
Apart. Because they can sell a guy who sits for 2 years or even 3 years on the fact that he is eventually going to get that opportunity. And while he's waiting for that opportunity, he's going to be developing in a way that prepares him for the NFL. And he's going to be compensated as well or better than he would if he left to go somewhere else where he could play more. And that's where the NIL stuff really, really comes into play, because Georgia can afford to keep guys on the payroll who are only playing garbage time snaps. A lot of programs can't do that, and a lot of programs that don't have a starting role available are going to see those guys leave because they can make money somewhere else in a more significant way, and they can find a bigger role. But at least at Georgia, which is kind of an exception in this world, you can kind of have the best of both worlds. You can develop internally without having to lose guys because they can go and make money somewhere else.
Yeah. Now, NBA Finals Game 3 tonight, the KP injury. How do you feel about the series, the rest of the series, now that it's transitioning back to Dallas?
Definitely makes an impact. I mean, he was plus 25 over the first two games. I know some people don't like plus minus, but I think in the playoffs.
It did. It's a meaningful stat. It is.
In the playoffs, it definitely is. And so what are we going to see? Al Horford play 40 minutes? Or is our guy
Xavier future Hall of Famer Al Horford to you, Dave?
I mean, it's incredible what he's doing at his age. Like, no shade at all, but I don't know if he's got 40 minutes in the tank, so we might see we're going to see some small ball. We're going to see some Xavier Tillman. You're going to miss the rim protection that Porzingis gave you off the bench, if nothing else. And don't get me wrong, he was doing a lot for him offensively, too. But at this point, too, I mean, you know, has he been completely ruled out, or is he just, you know,
I don't know, David. I have no idea. I've seen some people say there's no reason he should play because he can risk his long-term future. I've seen some people say, why not? He can play limited minutes as long as he can manage the pain. I don't know.
Yeah, I see no reason why he shouldn't play. It's the NBA Finals. We're not talking about a February the 1st game against the Hornets. I mean, this is the NBA Finals. And, I mean, let's be
real. You'll feel differently if he goes out there, tears ACL, MCL, PCL, and, you know, has a compound fracture. I think you'd feel different then. But right now, I get what you're saying.
I'll feel really bad, Gabe, if that's what happens here in a couple of hours.
Yes.
I say, hey, give it a shot. And then, like, you know, he knows his body better than anybody else. If he goes out there and plays for 3 minutes and it doesn't feel right, maybe he can call it then. But they do have a nice situation because with a 2-0 lead, you don't feel like you have to force him out there if he's just not ready. So you can kind of ride with it. Maybe if the situation calls for it, put him in there. But I don't know what the plan B is with no Porzingis in there. Because to me, he made a fairly significant difference in the first two games of the series.
Yep. And before game three, they're going to do a tribute to Jerry West. That was tough news to wake up to today.
Man, Bill Walton,
passed away
Jerry
at 86.
West. It's just the hits keep coming, man. It is sad, and what a cool chapter of his legacy that he spent meaningful years of his career in Memphis,
yep.
made an impact in Memphis, and it's interesting when you think about the Grizzlies franchise history. These three distinct eras. You have the Kleiman era now, headlined by Ja Morant. You had the Chris Wallace era, highlighted by the Core Four. And then you had the Jerry West era, which was highlighted by Hubie Brown. I mean, it's kind of crazy when you look at the players who were on the teams that he was the GM for, and the fact that they actually had some success with, I guess you would say, Pau Gasol as the headline player on those teams. But man, he did a really good job in the years where he was in Memphis.
And it seems like, you know,
you don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
At that time, making the move, you know, startup market, small market, you did kind of need that type of star power. You needed a guy like Jerry West to excite everybody around here, get the logo into the city.
No doubt. Getting a guy of that caliber to the city of Memphis, into a franchise that had no direction, that had no real upward trajectory to it whatsoever in the very beginning. And it was an old school. It was counterculture. We talked about Hubie Brown, you know, a few weeks back, and how amazing it is that he's still calling games at his age. But it took some guts for Jerry West to go out and hire a guy like Hubie Brown, who hadn't been coaching for years, and who was just totally out of sight and out of mind to a lot of people. And he got that guy in there, and they played different. They played 10 and 11 man rotations, and he would do an entire line change, almost like you would see in hockey, and things that were very unorthodox for the time. And it worked. Jerry West won an executive of the year. Hubie Brown won a coach of the year. They got the Grizzlies to the playoffs, and that was the first iteration of the Grizzlies that really cemented themselves in the city. I mean, and then you saw the progression of it. You know, after he left, there was the lull before they got the core four in place. And then after the core four, you had another lull before Ja Morant really got it going, you know, with Jaren. But the first generation of Grizzly success in the city of Memphis is is absolutely tied to what Jerry West did.
Now, I want to end this fun because that's a tough story. One of the funniest stories, but also another story that shows us we're losing our way as Americans. Joey Chestnut, Nathan's, and Major League Eating telling Joey Chestnut, 16-time winner of the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, to kick rocks. What are we doing? We're losing our way.
Yeah, what are they going to go out and get Caitlin Clark to replace him? I mean, that's the only thing they could do to make it more controversial than removing the GOAT.
The GOAT!
Yeah,
I love the spokesperson yesterday comparing him to Michael Jordan too. That was hilarious. That's great. And he got called an American hero by said the same sports spokesperson for Major League Eating.
That's You know what? I won't dispute that. That is an American legend. I mean, right there. In what other country would we celebrate somebody being able to eat 100 hot dogs in 10 minutes or whatever? It's incredible. But, hey, it opens up opportunities for other people. I mean, who's to stop you from going and
I haven't
out?
Gotten the call yet, but I'm expecting it.
Yeah, maybe they could change. Maybe we should start a barbecue eating contest. Like who can throw back ribs? You know, maybe they probably already do that at Memphis in May, but just an idea.
Yeah, I don't think I'd do well in a hot dog eating contest. I think the fatter people that get up there on stage, they do the worst. I think that's how that works. You have to train year round, and usually the people that carry around that extra weight, yeah, they're not that great at eating hot dogs.
Here's a debate for you: is hot dog eating, is it really a sport?
No, absolutely not. It's a sideshow.
ESPN is covering this story, so I mean, that, to me, that suggests if ESPN's covering it, to me, that suggests it's a sport.
Well, I mean, can't we just go to, like, they clearly define sports. Like, there's a clear definition for sports. I can't imagine hot dog eating's up there.
Yeah, but you mentioned it. He trained year-round, and it's timed. There's a clock. It's countable. It's not like a gymnastics where it's a rating, or diving where you're giving them a rating. You know, to me, it's like, a sport is something where there's a quantifiable winner and loser.
Right.
In hot dog eating, you know, there is a quantifiable winner and loser.
But what does make me laugh is how, like, self-sabotaging this is. It's like the dumbest business decision that Nathan's or Major League Eating could possibly make. The only guy we're going there to watch to see how many, if he can break his own record, he's not participating. Are you guys stupid?
Are you guys idiots? That's why I bring up Caitlin Clark, because... Yeah. We're trying to sabotage her career, and it's this whole big controversial thing right now. And it's like the hot dog eating people. Maybe they're run by the same people. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we'll see. But David, I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, man.
I'll let you roll.
Hey.
Oh, we missed it. We missed what he said, but it was probably a good salutations. Appreciate David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X from CBS Sports, covering college football and college basketball. And, of course, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, he's brought to you by Oxbow, the family-owned and operated retail store that's been making waves in Memphis for over a decade. Again, kind family, kind, courteous staff that you go and that will greet you when you go to 964 June Road, off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station. Top floor is reserved for all the hunting and outdoor essentials you could possibly need. And then the bottom floor has all the gift ideas. They have the clothing, which I'll get to in a second, sports memorabilia. They have vintage vinyl over there in the corner. They have all your tailgating needs. If you're a person that gets out to the Grove or Tiger Lane, cups, coolers, koozies, tumblers, they have all of that. But the clothing, best brands, Gentile, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen, and Maine. And they have your favorite teams as well when you go over there. Good vintage tees, but they also have some nice polos for your favorite teams. It could be Grizzlies, Tigers, Arkansas, Alabama, Tennessee, you name it. They have it over at 964 June Road. And you can find all of their great selection online as well at ShopOxbow.com. And when you go to ShopOxbow.com, use my promo code TheGabeShow. All caps, no spaces, TheGabeShow. And you'll get 20% off your online order. But whether you're going online or to 964 June Road, remember to shop local, shop Oxbow. We have more of the Gabe Kuhn Show coming up next. Make sure you stick around. That's Blake Watson, running back last year, accounted for about 1,600 all-purpose yards in his 1 year at Memphis. There's a report from the Draft Network that Blake Watson is absolutely bawling and killing the offseason program for the Denver Broncos. He's gone through OTAs. They're now through day two at Broncos three-day minicamp, and he is expected to push out one of the veteran running backs and make the 53-man roster. Now, a lot can happen. We're going to have to see what he looks like in the preseason, but this is one of the most obvious things I saw from the very beginning with Blake Watson. The ability he has to catch the ball out of the backfield, you can put him out in the slot. It literally fits perfectly with a guy, at the top there with Sean Payton. He has this joker role that he always talks about, where he has a running back who could be a third down guy, who could play on all downs, that will catch the ball out of the backfield, similarly to the way they used Alvin Kamara when he was with the Saints. But he always talks about that joker role. And earlier, during OTAs, he talked about Blake Watson being perfect for that role in particular. And then here's what really bothers me about him going undrafted in general. Now, he got a really good undrafted free agent contract and the whole thing. But the number one, RB1 in this last NFL draft class was Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. And when you look at Blake Watson and try to put him, alongside history, you would think of him normally as like a third down back, doesn't necessarily have the biggest size. But his three down potential is right there, if not better, than a lot of the guys that were drafted in this year's draft. Again, RB1, Jonathan Brooks. Over the last 20 games of his college career, Blake Watson averaged 103.5 rushing yards per game and 39.7 receiving yards per game. That is exactly as many rushing yards per game as Jonathan Brooks had at Texas, and 13.7 more receiving yards per game than Jonathan Brooks. It was always strange he didn't get drafted, especially with the measurables. Ran a 4.39, jumped a ridiculous broad jump, jumped 41.5 inches in the air in the vertical jump. It's strange that he didn't get drafted, but here we are. Sometimes it's better to just pick your spot, where you're going to land as an undrafted guy, and then make the best of it, and it looks like he's doing that.
Yeah, I mean, the moment he signed with the Broncos, you and I said that this may be a perfect fit for him, and we think that he might be the biggest steals of last year's draft with him being an undrafted free agent. But the moment Payton compared him to Kamara, I was like, oh, he's making the team.
Well, I loved about Payton, too, he said, not to make comparisons, and then he went on to
But he reminds me of the Joker thing that we do, most notably Alvin Kamara. Pretty big praise.
It still just boggles the mind. I think he was the most underrated running back prospect for this NFL draft class, and I think that will show true. I think he could really get an early role depending on what he does in the preseason.
Do we still have an idea of why he didn't get drafted? It just makes no sense to me.
I've heard a lot of different things, and I tread on the tires could be one thing. He's a four-year player. I think, his workout outside of his measurables at Pro Day, I think a lot of the scouts there thought it was less than stellar. But honestly, the measurables are all you need to look at, and the production he put out on the field. I have no earthly idea. I think really what it comes down to, Connor, is around the NFL draft, teams overthink and overthink and overthink, and I think they overthought him. This is a group of five guy. Of course, he's got good production. One of the best teams in the group of five. He had a good offensive line, yada, yada, yada. What happens when he sees some NFL competition? There's a lot of things that go into it, but I just think this was a prime example of a lot of NFL teams just overthinking.
Makes sense. Makes sense. It worked out for him, though. It really did. Like, it feels like it's a perfect fit with Sean Payton.
And I wonder what's going to happen with Javonte Williams. Jaleel McLaughlin is a guy that they really like, is in that joker role as well. But I think Blake Watson can play that the same, very similarly to him. And Javonte Williams has never given them what they wanted, really, as a three-down back, has he? I mean, it just hasn't been there.
Well, because of injury, mostly.
And then Audric Estime is another guy they drafted this year. That was their draft.
I was going to ask you, who should be sweating the most?
Probably, if I'm being honest, Javonte Williams, because I think there could be a situation where they trade him for late round picks. I think that's definitely on the table for somebody that needs running back help right this second, for a vet running back. But I mean, you're coming up on the end of a contract with him. What are you going to do with him? You're probably not going to sign him long term. I mean, the best plan of action is take all your you have three really young running backs that you could potentially develop, and I think that that's the thought there for Sean Payton. Audric Estime is a first and second down bruiser. Then you have Jaleel McLaughlin and Blake Watson. Jaleel McLaughlin's almost strictly third down. Blake Watson can sort of give you every down potential. I think you have three guys that are young that can give you what you need out of a backfield if you develop them the right way.
Yeah, I mean, last year Williams had a career-low 3.6 yards per carry, and he had that knee injury in 2022, and it's not like he's known for his pass-catching ability. So.
No. But I really think that Blake Watson will make this 53-man roster, and I'm also going to be paying attention to Jaylen Allen, see what happens there. Also in the NFL, we have some unexcused absences for mandatory two-day or three-day minicamps. Two from the Jets. One was Hassan Reddick. I don't really know what's going on there. Robert Saleh talked to the media, and he was confused as to why Hassan Reddick wasn't there. But he did say Aaron Rodgers. We're on the same page. We're on the same page with Aaron, even though he was unexcused from minicamp. And apparently, the only excuse that I saw out there for Aaron Rodgers, Connor, was that he likes to be elsewhere at this point in the offseason, and he doesn't want to be at minicamp. That doesn't sound like you're on the same page.
For someone who continues to talk about making sure there are no distractions, he continues to be a distraction.
It's gross. It's gross.
Listen, man, if you don't want to work out, that's fine. Show up and just say, hey, I'm going to be here so there's no story, but I'm going to just kind of go chill over here.
Also,
I'm sure that they would have been like, thumbs up, Aaron Rodgers, you can go over there. It's a story that he's not there. It's a distraction that he's not there.
Also, for a guy who tore his Achilles, played, what, three or four snaps last year, has a completely retooled and rebuilt offensive line, you would think that you would take every single opportunity to be around those guys, create some synergy and some chemistry with them. And he's not doing that. Do I think this is the biggest story in the world? No. But it's a pattern of behavior with this guy. It's consistent with where he has always, especially with the Jets in the last few years with the Packers, consistent with where he has been the last few years. And it doesn't necessarily seem like football first, but who am I to second guess him? Also, we had Amari Cooper with the Browns, unexcused absence, don't know what's happening with that. But we do have some breaking news about the NBA Finals, Game 3. And not that breaking of news, I think most people expected this to be the case, but Kristaps Porzingis is going to be out for Game 3 of the NBA Finals versus the Mavericks. Certainly going to affect what the Mavericks can do on the offensive end of the floor. I'd expect a lot more pick and roll with Daniel Gafford and with Derek Lively. Maybe Derek Jones Jr. as well, because that's a really fun one. It's a wrinkle they threw in the Timberwolves series, and he got a lot of lobs at the rim because of that. I think it affects that part of their game, but again, I think that Al Horford stepping in there playing extended minutes, worse things have happened to NBA Finals teams.
Right. It's just I have a bit of a worry of Al Horford having to play like 30, 35 minutes. But at the end of the day, I mean, I've always thought that the Mavericks are going to win Game 3 anyway. It has always kind of felt like the one that the Mavs are going to take. So I wouldn't be surprised if they won tonight. It's going to be interesting, though, to see the adjustments from both teams without Kristaps Porzingis, because it might tell us how the rest of the series is going to go.
Key for the Mavs tonight, get Kyrie going.
Yes.
And get the rest of your team shooting.
I think that's the number one priority.
Knock down some damn three balls. Yeah,
Get Kyrie going. He has to get going.
Just offensively, make shots, man. Make some three-point shots. 8.3% on wide-open threes outside of Luka Doncic in this series.
Wild.
You're not going to win any games if that trend continues.
Hot take. If you shoot 8% from three, you won't win the NBA Finals.
I understand the Celtics have a little bit of a hand in that, bothering them being pesky on the defensive side, but that is just so insurmountably horrible. It's just really, really bad.
It's shockingly bad. Like,
yes.
When you read off the stat, I was like, oh, I'm going to say a low number because there's no way it's this low. And that's why I was like 15, and you were like 8, and I was like, damn! I was like, holy crap.
But Kristaps will be out for tonight, and we'll see if he can play for the rest of the series. I no earthly idea. I think if you're going to rest him and potentially play him for the rest of the series, Game 3 is the one to do it in. Game 3. You have a 2-0 lead. You've been spotted it. You've been known to, in this playoff scenario, to steal games even without him on the floor. You're 11-1 without him and Al Horford in the starting lineup. We'll see what the Celtics can do. I do generally think the Mavs you know, this is their best opportunity to go win one. Celtics may be on an emotional low without KP. They're going to have to play a little bit differently. It's been a game.
More pressure on Tatum.
It's been a game time decision. More pressure on Tatum. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But let's go ahead and grab a break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up hour number two with Small Talk.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, today we had the great Jerry West pass away at 86, and he is a notable Celtics hater. He would not have wanted to see the Celtics go win banner number 18, but we do have a Hall of Fame Celtic player, legend of the game, was around in the 50s playing, Bob Cousy. Bob Cousy was talking to the Boston Globe, and he gave out a quote that makes me, not even as a Celtics fan, want to run through a wall. Here's the quote. Quote, "I'm 95 effing years old with 1 foot in the grave, and I can barely move. I know I'm in overtime. So everything in your life becomes more meaningful. And one of the last things I want to be able to see is for the Celtics to hang up banner number 18, end quote. Bob Cousy, I honestly, if I'm Joe Mazzulla, I might have to throw that on the board today. I might throw that on the whiteboard and try to get the guys fired up using that.
Yeah, it's I mean, that's definitely 100% better than anything that Joe Mazzulla is going to say. He's going to give them some, you know,
something from the town.
Something from the yeah, probably so. But no, like, he has a quote today that's like, it's too much being asked of Jason Tatum. And he's like, in today's America, everything's being asked too much of people. And it's like, relax, Joe. It's like, relax, Joe. We're talking about basketball here, man.
He's a strange duck.
He's a strange dude. But that's, he's got that, you kind of need that. You need just a little bit of screw loose to be successful in professional sports. It's kind of what we talked about with Dan Hurley. Like, he's just got some screws loose, and that's why we thought he'd be successful. Mazzulla,
the one
for
last
all of the
week
crap we've given him, he's been good. He's been really
good. Yes, he has. The one over the weekend, though, was just so strange.
Which one?
The one where they asked, okay, you have Jason Kidd and Joe Mazzulla, two black coaches going against each other first time since 1969 or whatever it is. And they add, like, what does that mean to you? His only response was, I wonder how many of those coaches were Christian.
A lot, Joe.
I'm like, Joe, a lot. You're the only person who has that on their mind. And I like, the avoidance of that question was just so strange to me. So strange. And probably, I don't know, ballpark 90, 95%?
Probably, I mean, Christian. I would coaches. Say at... Probably, I would put it more like 75% over 75%. Yeah. And like, I have no problem. Hey, man, more power to you. If you want to, you know, spread faith and all that stuff.
Yeah, no, that's
thumbs
fine.
Up. That's awesome. But it is just such an odd response to that question. He's like, why? It was like he was an inside thought comes out of his mouth. That, like, Mazzulla reminds me of somebody that if he thinks
Your intrusive thoughts winning.
I wouldn't even call it an intrusive thought necessarily. But here's what he had to say. So somebody was asked if Jason Tatum is playing the best basketball right now. And his response was, in America, nothing is good enough. And it's about what you can do for me right now. It's like, Joe, just answer the question. That's a no. I'm going to take that as a no.
Good Lord. It's just so much. But Bob Cousy.
He's so entertaining.
Bob Cousy, shout out, man. He said, I have 1 foot in the grave. I ain't scared of death, but I want to see my Celtics bring in banner number 18. That's a dog mentality. He got that dog in him still. My gosh. Now, also, we're going to talk about it a little bit later. Joey Chestnut and the response with Major League Eating banning him from competition from the Nathan's hot dog eating competition. Netflix has seized the moment, as they tend to do. They just announced, this is according to Front Office Sports, just announced as of an hour ago, that they're going to have a live hot dog eating contest between Joey Chestnut and Takeru Kobayashi. So Kobayashi, their first matchup since 09. And you remember all the beef that, no pun intended, that ensued from all of that, from Joey Chestnut dethroning Kobayashi. And it's supposedly set to stream live on September 2nd. And they're titling it a Netflix live event, Chestnut vs. Kobayashi, Unfinished Beef. September 2nd, Monday, September 2nd, live on Netflix.
God bless the USA. God bless the USA. God bless Netflix. God bless Joey Chestnut. I'm so happy.
An American hero. An American hero.
This let it is run. What America is about. Having glizzies on July 4th weekend is what America is
about. But this is September 2nd. We're delaying it.
We're going to pretend like yes. It's July.
We're going to shoot off fireworks.
There will be fireworks. I'm going to be crying.
Because the flag still stands for freedom. And they can't take that away.
They can't take it away. They can't.
And I'm proud to be an American.
Oh, my gosh.
And I won't forget
Netflix, they are taking advantage of live events.
American heroes.
Well done.
American heroes, giving the people what they want.
And Netflix is here for America.
I just got goosebumps.
Where's Kobayashi been all these years, man?
Waiting.
That's my question.
Waiting.
He's just in the shadows. He's in the shadows.
Waiting for his moment.
Oh, God.
It would be an unbelievable comeback for him to beat Chestnut, though. Could you imagine?
That would make headlines. That would make headlines. But that wouldn't be the That wouldn't be the American winner, though.
I want wrestling bits here. I need weigh-ins. I need them fighting. I need there to be
a face-off, like a
yes.
Nose-to-nose, like we do in 100%. The UFC and boxing?
Yes, need it. Need it like I need water.
But
need it like Joey needs
hot dogs. If Kobayashi pulls off the seemingly impossible, that's not, you know. I mean, it's an American institution what we're doing here, the just hog eating. I get it. But if Kobayashi wins, we're taking the shine off the American Joey Chestnut, the incumbent here. Either way.
I'm proud to be American. Shout out Netflix.
I'm proud of it.
Heroes.
I'm proud of it. Where Major League Eating is losing the American way, Netflix is picking up the pieces.
I can't wait to see what the MLE spokesperson has to say.
Yeah.
Dork.
Oh, yeah, absolute dork. Let's go ahead and get to hour number three on that note. And we'll open it with the head coach over at the University of Memphis for the football program. That's Ryan Silverfield next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
That's a no. I'm going to take that as a no.
Good Lord. It's just so much. But Bob Cousy.
He's so entertaining.
Bob Cousy, shout out, man. He said, I have one foot in the grave. I ain't scared to death, but I want to see my Celtics bring in banner number 18. That's a dog mentality. He got that dog in him still. My gosh. Now, also, we're going to talk about it a little bit later. Joey Chestnut and the response with Major League Eating banning him from competition, from the Nathan's hot dog eating competition. Netflix has seized the moment, as they tend to do. They just announced, this is according to Front Office Sports, just announced as of an hour ago, that they're going to have a live hot dog eating contest between Joey Chestnut and Takeru Kobayashi. So Kobayashi, their first matchup since 09. And you remember all the beef that, no pun intended, that ensued from all of that, from Joey Chestnut dethroning Kobayashi. And it's supposedly set to stream live on September 2nd. And they're titling it a Netflix live event, Chestnut vs. Kobayashi, Unfinished Beef. September 2nd. Monday, September 2nd, live on Netflix.
God bless the USA. God bless the USA. God bless Netflix. God bless Joey Chestnut. I'm so happy.
An American hero.
This is what America is about. Having glizzies on July 4th weekend is what America is about.
But this is September 2nd. We're delaying it.
We're going to pretend like it's July.
We're going to shoot off fireworks.
There will be fireworks. I'm going to be crying.
Because the flag still stands for freedom. And they can't take that away.
They can't take it away. They can't.
And I'm proud to be an American.
Oh, my gosh. Netflix, they are taking advantage of live events.
American heroes.
Well done.
American heroes, giving the people what they want.
And Netflix is here for America.
I just got goosebumps.
Where's Kobayashi been all these years, man?
Waiting.
That's my question.
Waiting.
He's just in the shadows. He's in the shadows.
Waiting for his moment.
Oh, God.
It would be an unbelievable comeback for him to beat Chestnut, though. Could you imagine?
That would make headlines. But that wouldn't be the American winner, though.
Wrestling bits here. I need weigh-ins. I need them fighting. I need there to be
a face-off, like a
yes,
nose-to-nose, like we do in the UFC and boxing?
Yes, need it. Need it like I need water.
But
need it like Joey needs
hot dogs. If Kobayashi pulls off the seemingly impossible, that's not, you know, I mean, it's an American institution, what we're doing here, the just hog eating. I get it. But if Kobayashi wins, we're taking the shine off the American Joey Chestnut, the incumbent here. Either way.
I'm proud to be American. Shout out Netflix.
I'm proud of it.
Heroes.
I'm proud of it. Where Major League Eating is losing the American way, Netflix is picking up the pieces.
I can't wait to see what the MLE spokesperson has to say.
Yeah.
Dork.
Oh, yeah, absolute dork. Let's go ahead and get to hour number three on that note. And we'll open it with the head coach over at the University of Memphis for the football program. That's Ryan Silverfield next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.